You're listening to SBS News.
A professional counsellor and father of four, Santino Atom Deng, knows firsthand the stress of a stage four lockdown. He works from his home in Melbourne's West, where he lives with his wife, Awang, and their children aged from 6 years to just 8 weeks. He also volunteers his time to buy groceries for isolated families and provide mental health support to those struggling in the lockdown.
Those who are really kind of struggling are those whom the, you know, language is the major barrier, maybe cultural barrier, maybe lack of knowledge about service provision, or lack of knowing where to access some information.
He's a member of the African Australian Family and Parenting Support Service, giving help to those struggling under COVID restrictions. Currently, he says almost 400 families have reached out seeking support. Mr. Deng says one of the hardest aspects of the Stage 4 lockdown for newly established African families is the restrictions against having visitors in your home.
We came from a very collectivist culture. And this collectivist culture is where you draw support from one another and you give each other support as much as you can.
He says the restriction removes a mental health safety net at a time when the community needs it the most. Federation of Ethnic Communities Councils of Australia CEO Mohamed El-Kafaji says these are hardships that all of society is facing, but have been amplified for migrant communities that lack established networks of family and workplace supports.
We know that a lot of our communities have been excluded from the JobKeeper and JobSeeker, and there is no job out there for a lot of people who have work rights. So there is a lot of anxiety and stress for migrant communities at the moment.
Mental health hotlines across the country have reported major increases in calls in recent weeks. Lifeline has reported a 25% jump in calls from last year's figures, receiving a call on average once every 30 seconds. Mental health research group The Black Dog Institute estimates between 25 to 33% of the community will experience high levels of stress during the pandemic. Research from the University of Sydney predicts a 14% jump in the number of suicides this year. Victoria's Department of Health and Human Services says over the last 6 weeks, the total number of self-harm emergency department presentations have increased over 9% in total compared to last year, but for those aged under 18 years, the increase is 33%. Executive Director of Youth Activating Youth, Ahmed Hassan, says many young people are experiencing unprecedented levels of stress, but are hesitant to speak about it.
Mental health is an added layer, and it's having a massive, huge impact in our communities. It's just we don't speak about it and we don't address it and give it the respect that it deserves.
He says increased pressures around education and employment has many missing a light at the end of the COVID tunnel.
And many young people are very worried and concerned what the future of their livelihood would be like. What's the future of education going to be? Higher education? What's the future of employment going to be? A lot of young people are very concerned.
Studies from Origin Youth Health found young people who have migrated to Australia from African countries are up to 10 times more likely to develop a mental illness than their Australian-born counterparts due to experiences of early childhood trauma, loss and separation. Associate Professor at Origin Brian O'Donoghue says COVID is reigniting some of these issues.
What we know is that during the pandemic, a number of these factors, in particular social isolation, has increased. So what we're seeing now is that the factors causing these mental health difficulties are being amplified, in particular for these vulnerable groups and the migrant groups and the cold populations.
The state government has added almost $60 million in new money for mental health programs in Victoria, with about half of the funds going to provide acute mental health beds in public hospitals. Community mental health clinics will receive around $4.1 million, after-hour psychiatry services $7 million, and outreach programs about $7 million also. An organisation supporting those who've attempted suicide after they leave hospital, HOPE, will also get a funding boost of over $4 million. Associate Professor Brian O'Donoghue says some funds should go into supporting culturally appropriate programs devised by community leaders.
These communities are very resourceful. Often they develop their own solutions to these challenges and difficulties. So we need to work alongside the communities and have partnerships.
Santino Atim-Deng agrees that community leaders need to be engaged to deliver key messages around mental health. He says the idea that we're all in this together needs to be told, not translated.
I know some information have been translated and what have you, but sometimes kind of verbalizing it is really more powerful.
Santino Atim-Deng agrees that community leaders need to be engaged to deliver key messages around mental health. He says the idea that we're all in this together needs to be told, not translated. Abby Dinham, SBS News.